And I hope you'll pray for me going to Maryland. I got to preach a youth rally up there right next to Washington, D.C. I go every year. And so please pray for these special services. I'll be Brother Smokey, and I'll be home about 5:30 next Sunday morning, Lord willing. So pray for me. I'll be driving all night. 2 Timothy chapter 2. One of the most unusual verses in the entire Bible is here in 2 Timothy 2, 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Isn't that a strange verse? That's 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. What that verse said is, there's some people that are against themselves. Listen to me a minute. In 2 Timothy 2, there's some people that are against their self. Why would anybody be against their self? I think you'll get my thunder off, Roy. That might fix that. And the Bible said they're working against their self. You would assume that most people would be for their self. But in the Bible, it said they oppose themselves. I'm against me. That's what they're saying. Now, I want to use a thought this morning, and I want you to listen to me, to pay attention. And the Bible said that these people that are against themselves, God would give them repentance if they'd just come to Him. But they have it no other way. So I'd like to preach this on the subject, climbing to hell. Let me get this one, Brother Roy, please. Climbing to hell. Here in the Bible, the Bible talks about people who are actually making an effort to get to hell. The Bible talks about people, can you get me up please just a little bit, who are climbing to hell. Now, to illustrate this morning, let's just imagine that over here on the other side of this tree would be hell. Just imagine that. There's fire. There's people screaming. There's people begging God for mercy. In hell this morning, there's people saying, no, God, please let me out. Please, God, let me out. They're right over here in this, say, imagine there's a pit here. Now, let's imagine this. I am a man walking through life. And as I walk through life, I'm going this way, and I'm on my way toward hell. Now, the Lord wants me to repent. The Lord wants me to repent and turn around and go this way and go to heaven. But He said some people have their mind made up. This is evident that they're going to hell. This title may strike you as strange because climbing usually implies that you're trying to get somewhere. And who in the world would be trying to get to hell? But there is people today that have made up their mind no matter what that they are going. God has set many obstacles in our way to keep us from going to hell. God will not interpose on your free will to keep you out of hell. It's your choice and it's your decision. And so when you get to hell, you can't say it was God's fault. It's not His will that any should perish. The Bible tells us that plainly. But people have their mind. There are people who say, we're going to party like it's 1999. People say, I saw a bumper sticker that said, drive like hell, you'll get there. And in my mind I said, amen, that's exactly right. You sure will. And a lot of people said, I have lots of quotes from rock singers like AC/DC, people like that. You know, saying, no stop sign. You know the song Highway to Hell? And that song says, no stop sign, no speed limit. Nobody's going to slow me down. I've got my wheels and I'm going to spin it. Nobody's going to mess me around. Hey, Satan, I paid my dues. I'm playing in a rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me, he said. I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on the high way to hell. And then there's hell's bells and all those hundred songs we won't get into this morning. Now, here's what the Lord does. The Lord's up here in heaven, And he says, hey, I want you to turn around and go to heaven when you die. And here's what he does. The Lord will take something and he'll put it in front of you like this. God won't just zap you and grab you and turn you around and turn you to heaven. But he will put things in front of you, something to stop you like this. Now, if this thing's in front of me, how am I going to get to hell now? I've got to go over. I've got to climb over this way. And then you know what the Lord will do? The Lord will put something else in front of me like this. And he puts something else in front of you, trying to stop you. Trying to stop you. Now, when you run into that, you're supposed to turn around, turn to God, and get saved. But some people, no, I'm not going to give up my lifestyle. I'm going over this one. I'm going this way and go over it. Climbing to hell. Now, you think about this morning, God loves you. God loves you enough that he let his son bleed and die for you on the cross for your sin. Listen, boys and girls, you teenagers here this morning, we got a ton of kids in here this morning. When we come to church, it ain't no game. This is serious business. There's a God in heaven. There's a devil there. And the devil wants you to burn in hell. That's all there is to it. The devil wants you here. God wants you there. And he's obstacles in your way to keep you from going. Now, what I'd like to do this morning is I'm going to name some of these obstacles that God would place in front of a person to keep them from hell. God loves you. He loves you so much he let his son die for you. But God will not make you turn to it. God will not make a person get saved. He will not do it. He gave you a free will. You can turn to him or you can shun him and go on your own way. Now, the first one of these I'd like to talk about this morning is the mountain of the church. Did you know Bible-believing church is a tremendous obstacle between a person's soul and hellfire? Everybody here was saved in a church or because of one, or as the result of a work in some church. I was on my way to hell when I was 16. When I was 15 years old, we'd been camping one night. Me and these boys at school went camping. We call camping, just went out and run roads all night. And we came in the next day from school, or from camping, and we had been to school and went camping and came in the next day, and my friend was reaching down in a drawer. And he reached in this drawer and he pulled out a pistol. And they all kept that pistol around the house all the time, and it had bullets in it, and he didn't know it. And of course I didn't know it. And he pointed that thing right at my chest and he said, and snapped it and pulled the trigger. There was four bullets in it and two empty holes. That was one of the empty holes. And then he pointed to me and said, you want me to shoot you? And I put my hand down. I said, man, get that thing out of my face. And I put my hand down like that. And he said, you want me to shoot you? And put it like that. And he put it up again. I put my hand against the barrel and he pulled the trigger and it pow, and it went off. If it had went off the time before that, he'd have shot me right through here. If that had happened to me, I was 15 years old. If that had happened and I would have died, I would be in hell right now. But somebody was looking after me. And somebody had their hand on me. And I put my hand, and that went through my hand. You still see the scar right there where it came out. And it knocked me around just like that. And I mean to tell you, blood started pouring. I run through the house like that. His mama come down the hall. She heard the gun go off. She screamed. They put me in up. I'll tell you one thing. I'll get off this. You know them movies where, you know, they get shot with a .44 in the shoulder and ride a horse 30 miles and fight it? That is a bunch of bull. They don't fight no Indians. I mean, I couldn't fight no Indians. I'm telling you, I thought I was dying. I thought I was going to die. I mean, I'm pretty tough, but I thought I was dying. They put it up on the pillow in the hospital that night, and it put it up like that because it started swelling up. And Lord have mercy, it was awful. But you know what? I would have died and went to hell if he'd have shot my brains out. And you know what? When I was 17, I'd have died and went to hell. But when I was 18 years old, God put a church in my way. It's called Nebo Baptist Church. Thank God, somebody had a burden to start that church. Thank God, Hall Hollifield, my pastor, had a burden to pray for revival. Thank God, there was a lady up there fasted for 6 days and nights for the boys and girls in Nebo. Thank God, old Joe Parson came, who got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and prayed the power of God down. And there was a church right here. And I was right here. Hell was right there. And I run into that church. And I got saved and turned around. And I'm going to heaven this morning. The church is an obstacle to keep you out of hell. And if you go to hell, you'll just say, I see the church, I see the steeple, I see the crosses, I see everything going on, but I choose to climb right over the church. I'm going to hell anyway. There's people that went to hell last night from parties. There's people that went to hell last night smoking dope and out partying around and flipped the car over and died without God and went to hell. And you know what they did? They said, I saw a church, I saw the steeple, I saw the cross, but I crawled over every single church that I ever saw to get to hell. They crawled over top of it. The church is a block. The church is a blockade between a man and hell. Not only that, this morning, the gospel sermons that you've heard. See, when you climb over the church, God puts something else in front of you. And He puts this something else in front of you. You know what it is? Preaching. Like you're listening to this morning. Every sermon that God gives a man and sends to you, it's a block between you and hell. Thank God, I've heard people say, I had a man call me one day, it was on Christmas Day. He said he was taking off his trash, all Christmas trash, you know, wrapping paper and stuff, and Marion, to the dumpster. He said, I turned your radio program on, and I heard you preaching. See, he was on his way to hell, and he said when he's on his way to hell, that God sent him a sermon on WBRM radio. He said, I turned that radio station on. He said, I heard preaching. It got a hold of me. See, he run into that preaching. He run into that preaching. He said, I can't get over this. And turned and got saved. But if you die and go to hell, you're going to ignore every single gospel message that you've ever heard. Think about the millions of people laid on the couch and with that remote control and flipped it and saw Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was warning about the cross, warning about hell, and tell them about the Savior and the blood. And brother, he was warning about all these things. And they had to say no and flip the channel. That sermon would have turned them towards God. That sermon could have turned them toward God and kept them out of hell. But if you die and go to hell, you will climb over every gospel sermon that you've ever heard in order to get there. You hear me this morning, ladies and gentlemen. You hear me, teenagers. Hear me, adults that are here this morning. If you go to hell, you'll say, I heard the preaching. Somebody preached to me, but I climbed over it. I ignored it, and I wound up in hell. And some of you here this morning, you know preaching. You've heard preaching. You've heard it all your life, but you're just stopping your ears. I don't care what it says. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's a dangerous way to play. The gospel sermons that you've heard. How many times have I heard people's testimony where they said, I heard the message and God saved me. You see, Jesus preached to those Pharisees. He said, repent or perish. And them Pharisees are in hell this morning because they perished. They did not repent. He said, you got a choice. They heard Jesus preach in person. He said, you got a choice. Repent or climb over it and perish. And brother, they climb right over that preaching and they're in hell this morning. God loves you. I've heard people say, well, God's too good. If God loves people, why does He let them go to hell? Because He won't go over your free will. He loves you enough to put up in front of you, but He will not make you go to heaven when you die. Not only that, number three this morning is the mountain of the Bible. The Bible itself is a great obstacle that a person's got to get past in order to go to hell. You know, if you go to hell, you got some climbing to do. If you go to hell, you got some work to do. God put the Bible, the Holy Bible, the blessed book of God, down here on this earth to keep you out of hell. Thank God my path crossed with this Bible when I was a little boy. When I was, as long as I can remember, when I was so little I can't remember, my mom set me on her lap like this. And I remember mom saying, the Bible's true. There's a heaven, there's a hell. And she taught me and my sisters the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God the Bible is trying to keep you out of hell. The Bible's not some cheap piece of literature of history. It's not some Greek philosophy. The Bible is God's Word on this earth to keep you out of hell. You know, I heard about a preacher preaching. And this preacher was preaching revival in a country church. And boy, it got hot and heavy. And he was preaching hell, fire, and damnation. And he was telling people about hell. And you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. You'd be better off to be a beggar all your life and not have a dime to your name and go to heaven than you would be to be rich and have new cars and houses and everything and die and go to hell. And he said, you don't want to go to hell. And he said, you're not. And didn't listen to him and kept wouldn't listen to him. And he said, you're going to walk over the Word of God if you go out of here this morning. And you know what he did? He went to the back of the church. He walked all the way to the back and he laid his Bible down at the door. And he laid that Bible down at the door. He said, now, if you go out of this church this morning, you're going to step right over to that Bible going out. And man, them people looked around there like, whoosh, I ain't doing that. They thought, boy, if I step right over that Bible, man, I'm going to fall right in hellfire. And they had to make a choice. What if I laid my Bible back in this morning and I said, anybody that can step over that Bible, have at it. Can you do it? You say, preacher, I'd be scared to do that. Ain't no way I'd just walk right over top of that Bible and ignore it. But that's exactly what you're doing when the preacher preaches and he says, do right. And you say, no, you're just stepping on God's Word and climbing over it. And when you get to hell, you'll say, I climbed over the Bible, God's Word. It warned me and 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 warned me about hell. I think over 50 times in the Bible, the word hell is mentioned. There is a hell this morning. Don't you listen to these nuts that try to tell you that there's no such place as hell. They ain't never been dead yet. They don't know. They don't know there ain't no hell. All the witnesses don't know there ain't no hell. They're just following some false cult leader that got them started on all that. Amen? Don't you believe people that tell you there's not a hell. This Bible, there's never been a mistake proved in the Bible. And the Bible said there's a hell below your feet morning. And there's people screaming and burning. And you'll go there if you ignore the preaching this morning. You see, when it's not me you're turning down. It's the Bible. God's Word. Remember that. It's the mountain of your conscience. You know God gave you a conscience. You know what conscience does? Your conscience tells you when you're doing wrong and tries to get you to do right. I read about a man who had lived 72 years, 72-year-old man. And they asked him, they said, do your conscience still bother you? And he said, all my life, every time I do wrong, my conscience bothers me. And you know what your conscience is? God gave you your conscience so you'd run into it. And you think, God, I'm bad. I need to get right. I'm sorry. Thank God you've got a conscience. You know what people do when they get drunk and they do drugs and they go to psychiatrists? They're trying to drown their conscience. When people go to a psychiatrist, mostly it's, tell me I'm all right. Tell me I shouldn't feel bad. Tell me I should feel guilty. How do I not feel guilty? And it's a dangerous way. It's dangerous for you to try to talk yourself out of feeling guilty. You should feel guilty if you are guilty. That's what God gave us our conscience. I heard about this. The Indians said one time, they said you have a round circle in here in your heart. And he said, and your conscience is like a triangle. And he said, when you do wrong, that thing starts spinning. And it sticks you, and it sticks you, and it sticks. It's a triangle spinning inside a circle. And it sticks you, and that's what your conscience is for. God gave you a conscience. And the way you can go to hell is ignore your conscience. Because your conscience will convict you, and your conviction will turn you to Jesus Christ for salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, you will climb over the effects of your conscience in order to get to hell. But let me give you another one. Number five, there's the man of better judgment. God put something down here, and it's called better judgment. Anybody in the right mind has what we call better judgment. Animals don't have it, just in certain cases. Here's what better judgment is. If you could buy a piece of land for $500 and sell it for $50,000, well, immediately, everybody in here said, well, sure, that's better judgment. Your better judgment says, if I can take $500 and then I can turn it into $50,000, well, of course, that's judgment. You have the ability to judge. A lot of animals don't have that. Animals are not able to make decisions like that. God gave you. I mean, who wouldn't choose between heaven and hell? Who would rather be in a place of fire? What if I offered you a car out there this morning for $5? You know, you could sell it for $20,000. What if I offered you this building this morning and I said, I'll sell you this building for 50 cents and you know you could sell it tomorrow for $200,000? What if I did that? You'd say, well, sure, you better believe it. That's your better judgment. Now, what God's saying is, there's hell burning, people screaming. There's heaven where you'll be happy. You ought to have enough sense to make the right choice. That's your better judgment. And when you get to hell, there's people in hell this morning that are over here saying, no, God, please, I'm sorry. What was wrong with me? I was crazy. I didn't think. You know, there's teenagers. I've met young people out here, and they're trying to look like Marilyn Manson or something, and they all try to say, man, it's cool to go to hell, man. It's cool. You know what them people's problem is? they ain't your better judgment. When they get there, they ain't gonna say that. That's the mountain of your better judgment. Not only that, the next mountain, number six, is the mountain of friends and loved ones' prayers. Somebody's praying for you. We prayed for you last night. You bus kids here sitting here this morning, you don't even know it, but we got up here and prayed for you last night. There was people all over this altar last night begging God. Some of our bus workers and us were up here praying, and others were singing. And last night for your soul, we prayed for you. And God, you know what people do when God, when you pray, God does like this: bam, bam, bam. You run into them prayers, bam. And the only way you can go to hell is say, I ain't paying no attention to it. I'm going on anyway. Somebody's praying for you. I talked to a man one day down in Hickory. We was giving out tracts. I walked up to him and he was sitting like this. He looked like he's probably in his 60s. He looked down like this and his neck was real red and his face is all puffy. I assumed he was an alcoholic. I'm sure he was. And you could just tell, you know, and he was sitting there like this. And I walked up and said, here, son, can I give you something to read? And he looked up at me. And he said, big tears started coming down his cheeks. And he said, you know, he said, my mama's a Christian. I said, really? I can't remember his name. And I talked to him for a minute. And I said, hey, buddy. And he's one that told me that story I've told you before. He said, I went to New York. I think it was up in New York, New Jersey. And he said, me and some guys went up there to pick up some cars that he had bought for a car lot. And he said, I went up there to drive the car back for him. And he said, when we got up there, he said, we was all drinking, all of us was, and we was all partying and everything. And he said, we got ready to leave. And he said, I got ready to get in that car. And he said, just as plain as day, a voice said, don't get in that car. And he said, I sort of backed on. They said, come on, man, let's go, come on. And he said, I started to get in again. And right when I started to get in, a voice said, don't get in that car. And he said, I'm going to ride with these other guys. And he went over here and got in the car with these other guys. And they all took off flying down the road. And that car wrecked and killed everybody in it. And he said, I wondered about that. I said, I'm going to tell you what that was. That's your mama back home praying that God will have mercy on her boy. My mama's prayers that caused me to stick my hand out that day and let that gun shoot me through the hand instead of through the head. Somebody's praying for you. And listen, somebody's praying for you this morning. You wouldn't even be in church. There's somebody praying. There's somebody praying. Maybe it's grandma that's done gone on to heaven. Maybe she spent 30 or 40 or 50 years on her knees praying, God, don't let my grandyoungin go to hell. God, don't let my grandbaby go to hell. And you're here this morning. And if you go to hell, you'll go over grandma's prayers. You'll go right over top of grandma's prayers. Think of the people in hell this morning. Had blocks put in front of them. And grandma prayed, and grandma prayed, and grandma prayed. And they ignored it. And said, I don't care. I'm going on anyway. I want to live like I want to live. And they climbed over the mountain of friends and loved ones' prayer. It's hard to go to hell with somebody praying for you. One night this boy left home. He'd run away and got mad and rebelled against his parents. And the last thing his mama told him was, she said, every night at 9 o'clock I'm going to be on my knees praying. And one night he's sitting in a bar and he's about half drunk. And he's sitting there drinking. And all of a sudden something went, ding! And he looked up and that clock struck 9. And boy, it smote him. It smote him in his heart like this. And he threw that liquor down and he run out of that place and got saved. You know what he done? He run into mama's prayers. He said, I can't handle this. And he turned around and went back the other way. They ain't a more powerful force on earth. They was talking last night about Russia having nuclear bombs and Iran having nuclear bombs and Hezbollah bombing Israel and all that. Listen, ain't a more powerful force on planet earth than a mama praying. That is the, you can't, that's harder to get around, brother, than the Empire State Building. When mamas are praying, and there's people sitting in here this morning, we'd probably be in hell if it wasn't for our mama praying. Thank God Almighty we had a mama that prayed. Thank God my mama prayed. Thank God mama prayed. And I'm probably saved today because of her prayers. But if you go over your mama's prayers, or your grandmother's prayers, you wind up in hell. Then, Number seven, there's the mountain of sorrows and shadows of this life. Tragedy sometimes is given in our life to turn us to God. I heard of a lady, a four-year-old boy got run over. She said, when that happened, it woke us up. When that happened, it made us realize what's really important. When I lost that child, you see, you can go along through life, everything going good, and your bills paid, and money coming in, everybody helped, you'll forget about God. But boy, when that tragedy hits, that's a mountain. And turn to God through the tragedies and sorrows of this life. I've heard people say, that's what it took. Divorce, cancer, death, something awful happened, car wreck. They said, preacher, when I hit that, I turned toward God. And if you go to hell this morning, you'll climb over every tragedy that God allowed in your life. Number eight, there's the mountain of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God right now while I'm preaching is dealing hard. I can look at this congregation and this place is very, very crowded in here this morning. People standing around the walls. And listen, God's speaking to people in here. I can see the tears coming down people's faces right now while I'm preaching. You know who's doing that? The Holy Spirit. While I'm preaching, He's working in here. And He's talking, saying, you better listen to Him. You better listen to Him. I saw a girl came in church one night. She's about 16 or 17. And at that time, years ago, we was having a revival. I mean, a revival was coming. A bunch of cheerleaders from the high school was getting saved. And they was bringing their friends. And they brought this girl to church one night. She sat on the second row. And I remember we had a big sign that my sister made for us up on the back wall about twice as long as that one. And it said, Jesus is the answer to all your problems in life and in death. And I'm telling you, when that choir started singing, I was just looking around, and that girl just started bawling. She just started bawling. Nobody said a word to her. Nobody preached to her. Who do you think that was talking to that girl? And I was doing like that, nodding on the guy. Finally, some of the girls seen her and grabbed her and brought her to the altar, and she got saved. But listen, but that's the Holy Spirit talking to you this morning. In your heart this morning, you hear somebody saying, you need to get saved. 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 And if you go to hell, you'll say, get away from me. I don't want to hear it. I'm climbing over the words of the Holy Ghost of God in order to get to hell. I talked to a boy one time. Played ball with us. This man right here, Bobby, verify what I'm saying. A young man. And I asked him if he was a Christian. He said, a bunch of us guys get together and play ball on Monday night or Tuesday night or something like that. And I asked this boy, I said, are you saved? He said, no, I'm Catholic. And I called him and I said, man, why don't you come to church? And one night, not long after that, it snowed. It was on a Wednesday night. It snowed all day. And it was getting deep outside and just a few people made it out to church. And he come in the back and he sat down. Man, it thrilled my heart. And I said, glory to God, he's here. Hallelujah, he's here. And he sat down, and one of the guys went back and sat down beside him. And after it was over, we gave the invitation. We didn't have just a handful of people out that night, maybe 10 or 15, 20 people, because it snowed so bad. And I went up to him, and I shook his hand, and I said, Mike, why don't you get saved? And I'll never, ever forget what he said. He's standing up against the wall, and he shook his head and said, got a lot of problems, Danny. Got a lot of problems. And I said, but Mike, bring your problems to the Lord. Come to Jesus. He said, I'll think about it. A few weeks later, I believe it was Bobby that told me. He said, you hear about what happened last night? And I said, no, that boy, his wife, their little boy is coming down the mountain. A big truck come down, cried him, lost its brakes, and turned over and crushed that car and killed him and his wife just like that. Holy Ghost got a hold of him that day. But he climbed over it. And if we could open up the gates of hell this morning and look and see the people screaming and burning in fire, we'd see that young man unless he made things right in those last few hours. Saying, I climbed over the Holy Spirit that night at church. Some of you this morning, I'm going to give an invitation. I'm going to ask you to come and kneel on your knees and give your heart to God. I'm going to ask you to get saved this morning. And I'm going to tell you something. If you say no to God, it might be the last chance you ever have. I'm saying this and I'm through this morning. There's one more mountain. Miss Desi, you come. There's one more mountain that a person's got to cross. You can climb over the mountain of the church. You can climb over the mountain of the preaching. You can climb over the Bible. You can climb over our prayers. You can even climb over the working and dealing of the Holy Ghost. But there's one final mountain that a person's got to walk right past in order to go to hell. It's that mountain you hear them sing about called Mount Calvary. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross where Jesus died and shed His blood, and God put that mountain right between your soul and hell. And the only way that you can go to hell is walk right past that and say, thanks. Him, they let blood run down His face and His body for that cuss word you said this week, or that thing you did last month, or that time you lied to your parents. They beat Him and let Him bleed for your sin. And the only way is just walk right past it and say, I don't care what you did for me, I'm going to live like I want to live. And you've made it. You finally made it. It don't make sense this morning. Why don't you come? Why don't you get saved this morning? Why don't you been thinking about it? You've been coming to church two or three Sundays? Why don't you get saved this morning? I mean, really know that you're right with God this morning. You're climbing over all these obstacles. And one day you're going to wake up in a place you wish you'd have never heard of. Because you're climbing to hell. I want you to stand by your heads, please.